We love the Lord. We're glad for every victory He gives you. As Brother Tim said a little bit before service there, and with every battle, there's a victory at the end. And that's the way it is for Christians. Amen. Yeah. Like that song that Brother Kenneth sings, when we're a winner either way, there's no way the devil can defeat you no matter what.
That's right.
No matter what the Lord allows, you're a victor no matter what. So the Lord's made it that way. Everybody in this world is always looking for a sure thing, and that's the only sure thing there is.
That's right.
Just looking out, I think Aunt Mary was talking this morning, and we was talking about all the stuff out there, and all these judges and people that have are now going down for cause of their corruption, and they're supposed to be the people standing there, and we're going to hold them that law. And I told her, I said, see, that just goes to show you that the ability for people to have power and authority and handle it just does not lie within their heart unless they've got the Holy Ghost. Sure. And then even with that, if you're not really giving in to the Holy Ghost, you're not. See, that character only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So every time I look in the news, I see it confirming the truth of the Word that there's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that, Him this morning. Amen. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Just kind of being a little facetious when I said we're going to talk about Him this morning, because that's who we always talk about. Amen. He's so worthy.
Yes.
Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, we begin reading at verse 18, go through verse 29. This is Paul speaking here, and remember he had just talked in Hebrews chapter 11, where he talks about all the different ones of the Old Testament and their faith. By faith they did this, by faith they did that. And so now he's talking about us. He said, for you're not coming to the mount that might be touched and that burneth with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and to the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words which they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was spoken. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, and to heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
Let's just pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you again today, we thank you, Lord, for this time, this opportunity, and these people, and Lord, everything that you've done in our midst, every victory that you've given us, every victory that we'll have in the future. We thank you for these things, Lord, and we just want to give honor and praise, glory to you this morning, and knowing that this is a special time, a special people, a special place in our hearts, and we believe, God, that you poured out your mercy and grace upon us, so we just thank you for this opportunity. We want to ask, God, that you'd come in the great Holy Spirit and just minister to us this morning and just allow us each one to receive from heaven. And Lord, that you would give us strength and that you'd bless everyone in their bodies as we join our prayer with Brother Daniel's prayer at the beginning of service. Lord, that the victory would come to each of your children, Lord, that as they've been struggling and in the flesh and things, Lord, that Satan would throw their way, sicknesses and different things. We know, God, that they're still pressing on this morning, and we thank you for their diligence. And we know, God, that you will repay that and honor their faith towards you and bring great deliverance. So we ask, God, that you just have your way this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. And I didn't do that, I promise. I just thought that I wanted that heater turned off, and it went off. So, it's hot up here, so praise the Lord. Anyway, oh, God is good. It's good to be a Christian, amen. Brother Bram said, we're just as thick as molasses on a cold morning, right? That's the way we ought to be. So I'm going to continue on this morning with what I talked about last week, the Christian stand. I'm going to call that part two, but I want to kind of give a subtitle about Christ being misunderstood. And so just to review just for a moment as we get going this morning. And so we talked last week about the Christian stand, why we stand where we do on matters and on different things, our clothing, our apparel, our stance, our opinion, or whatever. And it's not just because we decide we want to be that, right? It's not just because what kind of person would make a choice, just choose of themselves and say, you know, I'm gonna pick a stance that's going to cause me to be rejected and persecuted and hated. How many would like to do that? None of us would, right? We don't do that just because we just want to, but we do it. We choose the stance that we do as a Christian because there's something down inside of us that's pushing us and bubbling out and causing us to take the position that we do. And we talked last week how that we are birthed. We're not birthed to a denominational system or to even the laws of the land. That's not what we're birthed to.
Come on.
Right? We are birthed to the Word of God. We're birthed, as the Scripture said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. We read it last week, that we were birthed by the incorruptible seed, by the Word of God. And so it's an incorruptible seed that we're birthed by, and so there's something that lays in you that cannot be corrupted.
That's right.
Think about that. I hope that kind of comes in a different perspective this morning, that what God birthed you by can't be touched.
Amen.
See, there's no Satan all the time telling you, you fail and you fall short and you do this and you do that. Just tell him, Satan, I'm birthed by something that cannot be corrupted.
Amen.
Amen. So we're just going to go with that today. We have something inside us that, as Brother Bram said, is just as much God as he is God and can no more die than he can die. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's right.
So that's what we want to identify with. So we're birthed by the Word of God, birthed into a realm where the Word of God has preeminence. And in that realm, as we talked about last week, there's no room for any horseplay and all this nonsense. Jesus said, I come here to do the will of my Father. And that's what he did. Mm-hmm. As Brother Daniel and I were talking a little bit earlier, Jesus said, I'm come in my Father's name. He said, you know, he sent me.
Yeah.
And he said, I and my Father are one. And he said, when you see me, you have seen the Father.
That's right.
So it might as well just be the Father, right? Because if you see him, you've seen the Father. And Jesus don't do anything except the Father does it. Mm-hmm. Right? So in essence, what he's saying is, it is the Father. It's the same one self, same being. And then he goes on and says that in that day you'll know that I'm in you and you're in me, right? Mm-hmm. And I've sent you, and whoever receives you receives me. So you see, his church comes to the same position, like Jesus was with God. But, you know, that position of Jesus, what he was when he came here, was extremely misunderstood. Right? Because all that was in God, he poured into Christ, and that was misunderstood.
Right.
And then all that was in Christ, he poured into his church, and that is misunderstood also.
Yeah.
So we're kind of just walking the same path that he walked. So I think he's a good example for us to look at. So we're birthed into this realm and this kingdom, as we was reading there just a minute ago. We're birthed to that. And I said last week that we have touch, taste, see, smell, and hear in this life. And that's the way we can tell what's going on in this dimension, right? Because we can touch, taste, see, smell, and hear, and that's the way we contact our earthly home. But when we were birthed by the Word of God, now we have, as it were, touch, taste, see, smell, and hear in that realm. And I know Brother Ram talked about imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. That's our spiritual home. That's how we contact our spiritual home. But we become extremely sensitive to that realm is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And so what's going on in that realm, we see it. Right. We touch it. We taste it. We smell it. We hear it. And so we very much are in tune with godly things and what his program is. And that means a lot to us. It means more to us than what goes on down here. Right?
Yes.
So we're birthed to that kingdom and to the senses of that kingdom. And our responsibility as Christians, as we are so privy to what's going on in that dimension, if you stay in the Word and in prayer with God, our purpose is to bring that dimension back here to this earth. Our purpose is to be a channel to take what goes on there and get as much of that manifested here in this world to as many people as we can here that God will let us manifest that to.
Yeah.
And so that's our purpose. And so when we do that, we have something we're birthed to, and now that's what lives in us. Mm-hmm. When you're birthed to something, what you're birthed is living now. And so that's what's living in us, and that's all that we can. It's not a choice. It's a birth.
Right.
Right? You know, a little baby, when they're born, they don't say, you know, I think I'm going to cry mm-hmm. when I want something. No, God has a provided way, and because they're babies, they cry. Well, you know what? Because you're a Christian, you have a desire to see Christ manifested in this world.
That's right.
It just comes with it. It's not a mental choice. It's who you are. Amen?
Right.
It's who you are. And so whenever we live in an hour, and in this hour, God says, this portion of my word has to come to pass, there's something inside you that's groaning that wants to manifest yes. that word. And that's all you can do. It's just moan and groan, pressing on for that to be manifest through your life. And so that's why we take the stand that we do. And that dimension is just as real or more real to us than this one here. Because we see it. We feel it. We see the revelation of it. It's unity with the Word. And we see why things have to be the way they do. And we see why the world's going in the direction it is. Because we're looking at another dimension. And so we are to bring that here. And of course, while we bring that here, try to manifest this in this world, we're misunderstood. And it is Christ being misunderstood. And so while we do that, as I said a while ago, we're not just trying to be different. We're just trying to be what we are to manifest that realm in this world. So now, when you want to think about what we manifest and what our stance is here, and you know, even though it's a misunderstood thing most of the time, most of your family don't understand you, they don't agree with you, your workers, your friends, they scratch their head, they think you've gone off the deep end. Mm-hmm. Well, when you're looking at that and you want to know why and what it is you're manifesting and why it's that way, well, let's just look to what we've come to. Now, I've said a lot about what we've come to. We've been birthed to a realm where God is supreme. But now I want to take this thought and I want to swing it to the scriptures we read. And instead of saying, what are we birthed to? We're going to use the scriptures. What have we come to? Mm-hmm. See? And so he tells us what we've come to. We just read it. And we want to talk about that just for a little bit. So what have we come to? And so in the scriptures there we read it. And I'll read over it. He says, what we've not come to. We have not come to Mount Sinai. We've not come to a mount that might be touched, that burneth with fire, or of blackness and darkness, or tempest, or sound of a trumpet, whose voice, words, when they heard, they entreated that the words should not be spoken any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And even if a beast touched a mountain, they'd be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceed and feared and quake. And he's referring there like that. He's going back and he's pointing back to when God gave the law to Moses and on Mount Sinai. And so you remember, if you go back and those, if you read the Old Testament, you realize that back then that this whole mountain was quarantined off. And that even if an innocent beast walked up there and got beyond the barrier, it had to die. Because this awesome burning fire, this God who is a consuming fire, was on that mountain there. And it was such a fearful thing that even Moses, God's prophet, the one who spoke to God, lip to ear, right?
Yep,
even he was afraid. This was such an event that was displayed on that mountain. And so God was coming down and he was expressing the wrath that can come upon the people when they transgress his laws. And this is where he gave the law and said, this is the requirement, right? Yep. This is the requirement. And so this whole thing that we're talking about, when Paul says, you didn't come to that. This is not what you've come to as Christians. We didn't come to Mount Sinai where this judgment is about to break forth upon the people, and where even it's so fearful, and there's fire and there's smoke and there's burning and everybody's screaming and trying to hide from God and asking that God don't speak to them, let Moses do it. And even Moses is scared. Paul is saying, this is not what we come to. Uh-huh. Now, so when he's talking about he's talking about this whole thing, it all lays under the category of law, the requirement that God required of humanity. And so that had to be displayed that way for a reason. But you remember, the law is only a policeman. The law is very good at getting you and putting you in jail for breaking the law.
Yeah.
But a policeman has zero power to get you out once you're in there.
Right.
And so this whole thing that was being displayed upon the mountain, the awesome judging power and the destructive power of God that could come upon an unrepentant sinner, upon a person who's broke the law, that whole thing was a representation to warn you and tell you this is what's required, right? To tell you what's required and to show you what the judgment is if you miss the mark.
Yeah.
And guess what? We all missed the mark.
That's right.
And God knew that, see? And so he's a policeman and he can put you in jail, but he can't get you out of jail. See? So Paul says, this is not what we come to. We have not come to an experience. We've not been birthed into a realm where this is all about condemning people.
Right.
This is all about bringing judgment. That's not what it is. Because remember, the law can never rightly judge completely. The law, especially, I suppose, I'm not going to say that the law is, because the scriptures tell us it's a perfect law. It is. But the thing about it is when you go to carry it out, it's not administered fairly. There's always somebody that gains, and that's why we see it the way it is. It's back to my comment about only Christ has the character. So even the Pharisees and Sadducees, who knew the scriptures so well, remember, they could put a pen through the scrolls and tell you every word it passed through. They knew it so well. And yet they could not administer the law of Moses and the things that God had committed. They could not administer it and be fair. We see that in the scriptures. Because you remember the woman they brought who was caught. Caught in the act of adultery.
Yep.
If she was caught, that means there was a man there with her.
Right.
But they didn't bring the man. Mm-hmm. They brought her. And they're there to condemn her. And they're going to stone her and not doing anything about the man.
Yep.
See what I'm saying? These things are there for a reason, to let you know God is the only one that can rightly judge. Right? He's the only one that can. And when we try to pick up that responsibility, I heard Brother Bram say yesterday in the adoption series, he said, God did not send me to judge. He said, I will not judge someone else. God didn't send me to judge. You know what judges? The Word.
Right.
The Word is what judges. The Word is what condemns. What you do about the Word is where you stand. Mm-hmm. See? So it's the Word that judges. So Paul is saying here, this is not what we've come to. When we were birthed in this Christian experience and we take a stand, it is not about the law. It's not about being a policeman and condemning people, though that judgment and that imagery has to be there to know that there's a judgment for those who transgress. This is not what we're about. But what we are come to, and we'll talk about it as what he said in the scriptures, but what we are come to is adoption. Okay? So now if you remember, Brother Bam takes us back in the adoption series, or maybe it was Hear Ye Him, he did it through that sermon a lot. But he talks about how that Jesus went up on Mount Transfiguration. Take Peter, James, and John, and they went up there, and And so we understand the biblical concept of adoption. Adoption is not a child being birthed or anything, but adoption is a child being placed. He's already a child, but he's under tutors and taught, and once he finally comes to the place that he has the character to rule, then the dad adopts him. The dad takes him through a ceremony, puts him up on a high place, puts a white robe on him, and announces to all the people, this is my son, he's now has authority in my business. Okay? And so when Jesus was there baptized, the voice said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased. But he didn't say at that time, hear ye him.
That's right.
But then when he went up on Mount Transfiguration, there's Peter, James, and John, because there's got to be witnesses, right?
Yep.
Peter, James, and John are there, and he goes up there, and now his garment is arrayed with white on a high place, right? So now he's being adopted, and Moses and Elijah are there, and at some point after this unfolds, the voice of God speaks and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased, hear ye him. So there's the key phrase. This is what's different. Jesus had walked and come to the place where now God was going to express adoption through his life and said, now listen to him. Mm-hmm. Right? And so Brother Branham was telling, he talked about this and he said, now this whole thing that took place on Mount Transfiguration is a prefigure, a preview. Like he said, they'll have a movie that's going to be released. And they'll take that movie and they'll have a preview and they'll let a small group of audience see the movie before everybody else gets to see it. Mm-hmm. And he said, this is what this was. Now I'm going to ask you a question. What preacher that's out there today could make that statement? What preacher could say this was a preview of what God's going to do at the end time with the sons of God? Who out there, Benny Hinn or any of the rest of them, Oral Roberts or Billy Graham or any of those guys that's been in our day, could any of them make that statement? No, they were not prophets. They did not have the right and the authority nor the insight to make that statement. So you and I have privilege to see something here that they don't, the rest of the world doesn't. And that is that this is a preview of what God will do at the end time with all his sons that come to adoption here at the end. So he says that there is Moses and Elijah, and the scripture said they were there. And so when all this was unfolding, Peter gets all excited and he says, I think we should make some tabernacles or some sort of a monument or something here. Three of them, make three of them. He tells Jesus this. He says, I think we should do this. Let's make one for Moses and one for Elijah and one for Christ, for you, Christ. And so while he spake these words, the scripture said, while he spake this, that voice spoke and said, this is my beloved son, whom I'm pleased, hear ye him. Let me read what Brother Ram said so I can go ahead. And so he says, now watch, he was overshadowed and he was transfigured before them, and his raiment shined like the sun, and he was Jesus. God was placing his own son. This is in blasphemous names. And then up come Moses, and then up come Elijah, and Peter said, you know, it's a good thing to be here. And Brother Bram says, see how man gets? Said, let us build three tabernacles. Let's build one for Moses and one for Elijah and one for you. And before he could get through speaking, God just shut the whole thing up. Think of how Brother Branham is expressing this. Peter just hush. Here's what I want you to get out of this situation on this mountain that you're looking at. See? He just shut the whole thing up. And so he said, this is my beloved son, and in all these things that I required of Moses and put the law out there by Moses and the justice by the prophets, he's met it all. Hear him. Yeah. Right? And he says, I'll just step out of the picture now. Talking about God. God saying this. Peter, hush up.
Yeah.
Hush up. You know, here's what I want you to get. This is my son. And everything that I required under Moses and the law, and everything under the prophets, Elijah being representing the prophets, he's met every bit of that.
Right.
So hear him. Listen to him. And so He said, I'll just step out of the way. Now, just hear him. Just hear him. Oh my, what a beautiful thing. So he's given this expression here. Brother Ram's going through this, and he shows how that Peter wants to make these three tabernacles, three monuments or whatever. And you know, typically when people want to put up some sort of statue, a headstone or a monument or something like that, it's because they want people, when they walk by, they want people to remember who that represents and what that event was. And so Peter's like, oh, this is really good to be here. And I tell you what, we got to put up a monument so people will always remember the law of Moses. Always remember, they got to, what that's all about. And also, we want to put one up here for Elijah, because we want people, when they see that, they want to remember Elijah. He had power over fire. He could bring the justice of God, the judgment of God upon you. Yeah. And of course, we want one here for Christ. So he's got this big idea that he wants people to remember the law and remember Christ, Elijah, right? Mm-hmm. He wants to put monuments up for them. And God just shuts the whole thing down and says, hush up. I don't want you to remember Moses so much. I don't want you to remember Elijah so much. I want you to remember Christ. I want you to listen to him. This is what's happening there. And so this is what took place on that mountain as a prefigure to when the sons of God come to adoption. And so when the sons of God come to adoption at the end time, these three must be present. Moses, Elijah, and Christ. They have to be present because there's the prefigure, right? You can't look at the prefigure with a small audience and say, oh, here's Moses, Elijah, and Christ, and then come over here at the end time and go, yeah, here's just Christ. Well, that's different than what the preview was, right? So if the preview said that Moses, Elijah had to be there with Christ when Christ, as a son of the Son of God, come to adoption, then at the end, when the sons are going to be coming to adoption, then there has to be present Moses, there has to be present Elijah, and then Christ. Right? Christ in the sons coming to adoption. Yeah. So in this end time, there has to be a ministry that's present, still putting out that requirement. Here's what the law says. Here's what you got to come to, right? And then along with it, there has to be a ministry present to show that God, through the ministry of Elijah, can bring judgment upon a people who resist that law and who won't follow it. But that's not the end story of the story. The end of the whole thing is that, yeah, you want people to know what requirements are so they can know they miss it. Then you want them to fear God because they realize I'm in trouble, that they might come to Christ.
Yeah.
So that once you come to Christ, you don't have to worry about Moses, and you don't have to worry about Elijah. Uh-huh. You've come to Christ. Right. Why? Because everything that was required under Moses, the law, the requirement, and then the justice of God that was going to come upon people who missed that and missed the mark, all that was met in Jesus. He met the whole requirements. And so all you got to do is get in him, and that's imputed to you.
That's right.
So that's what he's talking about. Says you just got to remember Christ. So they have to be present at the end time. So as you and I come to adoption, as you and I come to what we long for in ourselves as perfection, ready for rapture, ready for a body change, because remember, it doesn't change you, it just changes your dwelling place. So we got to come to our character and who we are here in this life just before our body is changed. Yep. As we come to that, we must come to grips with, realize this, that yes, there's always going to be the element present of the law and the requirement that we have to share with our friends and our family and our neighbors and let them know that there is a requirement that we have to meet. And also let them know that there's judgment that comes if they don't do that. Right? But then also point to Christ and let them know that it's all meant in him, and just get to him and you won't have to worry about the rest of it. Amen. Amen. So as we come to that, that's what we've got to really have that right. Mm-hmm. We got to get, in other words, as we come to that, we as we express these things, we want to make sure that we're not leaving the Christ part out and scaring the daylights out of people because of the requirement, or repelling them away because of requirement. The whole thing is to get them to Christ Jesus. Amen. So, Paul says, we didn't come to this law. We didn't come to all this. And remember, we talked about this the other day, but, you know, the law was just a schoolmaster. The real covenant was given to Abraham, and then that covenant would continue on when the seed of Abraham would come, which would be Christ and all of us under Christ. But in between those two times, he had to put the law in there as a schoolmaster, and that law had a priesthood, but that priesthood died every year, or died every so often, so they had to go in every year and rehab this sacrifice, and they had to replace the high priest every time he died, and all that kind of stuff. And he would go in and he'd have to offer blood for his own sins in addition to the people. And this was the covenant that could not make people perfect. It had to do with time. So it had to come to an end, right? Because everything in time comes to an end. Only with that which is in eternity. So that tells you that the covenant that was given to Abraham is eternal. It's an eternity. Because this one's time. And so the limitations of this one, when he's talking about Christ, and he said Christ did not come after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. And he brings in this Melchizedek. This is why these things were brought to us in this day by a prophet, that we might understand these things. That this Melchizedek, he was the king, priest of Salem, priest of the Most High God, and he was king of Salem, which is peace, right? Jerusalem. So he was king of that, and he's here now. So as Brother Bram said, who is this Melchizedek? Not that Melchizedek. Who is this one? And demonstrated that he was here. Okay? And so we've not come to the law and the limitations of the law, which all genders to natural Jerusalem on the earth, which is in bondage with her children, as we see in Galatians. Right?
Yeah.
Right? So this thing that he's talking about, he says, we've not come to that. We didn't come to all the limitations and the failures and the time boundaries of that law and the covenant that was on Mount Sinai. That's not what we've come to.
Right.
We've come to something much greater. And so we've come to, as I said, adoption, come to a place where sons of God are being adopted. And proper judgments being measured out, because remember, all judgments get to the Son. Think about it. Last thing he said, the thing he said to the last church age, to them that overcome, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. That throne is judgment. So, these three have to be present at the end time, Moses, Elijah, and Christ. Now, you know, Brother Ram said, one man. This is the first time I've said what I'm going to get into something I haven't said ever before. And not that I need to, but Brother Bram said one man in a vision can represent the entire church. And he's talking about John, the Revelator, right? I want to ask you a question. Can one man down here in Laodicea, manifesting the Spirit of God to this generation, can that one man represent the entire body of the bride? And the answer is yes. See what I mean? If John can represent the entire bride and be experiencing something that you see there, that it's actually the whole bride that's experiencing what John is experiencing, the same thing can be with any prophet or any major. I'll allot it to that. And what I'm trying to get at is that Brother Branham, in his own ministry, could come to places where in his own ministry, he comes to adoption. And God don't have to have every last person on the face of the earth stand up and do something like what Brother Branham did in that moment of adoption. When he comes to that, God's program has reached that place where it's imputed to the entire body that adoption is here and sons have come to adoption. Okay? We may not all speak squirrels into existence. You understand what I'm saying? But because God has somebody on the scene that Christ is in, and what Christ does is imputed to his people always, right, through the grace. So now, and the reason why I said that is because somewhere in this gospel, in this end time, Moses and Elijah and Christ all manifested together at the same time to show us that we are at this end time and that sons are coming to adoption. So in Revelation chapter 1, the sermon, Revelation chapter 1, Brother Branham's talking about it. And he was in the, I've quoted this before, and I may have read part of it before, but he was in Shreveport, and he was at Life Tabernacle. And he was telling about different things that happened down there and how that the Lord was moving and speaking and confirming things. And they were there, and he says, a Baptist woman come over there to this church in Life Tabernacle. So a Baptist woman come over there not knowing what she could do, and she was standing in the midst of the meeting, and the Holy Spirit fell on her, and she began to speak with tongues. A Baptist woman from the First Baptist Church at Shreveport. And she didn't know what she had did, and then before she could say anything, the Holy Spirit gave the interpretation and said, "Thus saith the Lord, within 3 months, there will be the spirit of Moses, Elijah, and Christ ministering in this tabernacle." And Brother Ram said, and there it happened perfectly. Amen? Now, he vindicated it. He said it happened just exactly that way. And so you have to realize that the Lord speaking somehow through that was to let the people know that the spirit of Moses, the spirit of Elijah, and the spirit of Christ was all present, going to be present within that space of time, preaching right there in that tabernacle. I don't think it was talking about somebody else. I think it was about what God was doing through the ministry of William Branham. That God, through him, was reestablishing what the requirement is of this generation under Moses. And then the ministry of what his ministry is to come here as Elijah to show the people that, you know, Elijah had power with fire, right? And God is a consuming fire. This whole thing's talking about the fact that God is a consuming fire, and on the mountain, this is what happens, and this is what you're coming to if you don't find Christ. And so that judgment had to be present, and there were plenty of cases where judgment was measured out in the meetings. People who come against the Brother Branham and against what God was doing, that God would show that he had the ability, right? Had the ability to bring judgment. And the whole thing is what you need to remember is that because he was a prophet, now God has reestablished to this generation what the requirements is. Not just some man said it, but an established, vindicated, that they in their own book says, nobody had a ministry like that, right? That their own testimony will condemn them because they say that he had thus and thus, but then they say don't listen to what he had to say. So that vindicated prophet has said it and established what the law is, and then God has performed and shown that in this generation, Elijah was present. And so what God has done is he has drawn this entire generation into a courtroom and has said this is what it is, and he's also brought judgment upon this generation. That's what you see happening. But also, the most important part is the true manifestation of Christ is also present. See? It's also present. And what? The opening of the seals. Right? Not just the exposition of church age, not just this and the adoption series and all that, not just, but the opening of the seals, the manifesting of Jesus Christ to this earth. So there's what you can run to. You got Moses to condemn you, condemning all the generations and everything they've done. If you remember Malachi, it was basically it was a court case. Read about it. You've robbed God. You've done this. You've done that, right? And that's what's happened. So here we are now in this day. It's been established what the requirement is by a ministry that's creditable. And judgment is now falling in the land because they have resisted that and rejected that word. That's why Brother Branham is saying God won't judge a man, but he warns him first, right? Yeah. And then he says, I have to indict this generation, right? Yeah. There's Moses. He's indicting them. He's showing them, you've missed the requirement. And so now, because they've missed it, now you got to deal with Elijah, who's going to bring judgment upon you. He's going to call fire out of heaven. Remember, but the thing for this generation to do is flee to Christ. Yeah. Don't be caught up in all this stuff. Get out from all these things that he has shown is condemned. Don't be under the judgment that's coming and flee to Christ, because Christ is the end product of what God really wanted. Remember the disciples said, would you like for us to call fire down? And Jesus said, you don't even know what spirit you're of. And we think, oh, he's saying they're of the devil. No, no, no. Not necessarily. They're trying to take upon them the spirit of Elijah. See? Well, that belongs to Elijah. Right? I'm not Elijah. I'm not bringing judgment on anybody. Right? You see what I'm saying? I'm not Moses. Yeah, but I am called, and so are you, to be Christ. Amen. Amen. So anyway, we'll go a little bit further. His sons coming to adoption, so all three was present in Brother Branham's ministry. At the end time, a son of God coming to adoption, and in his ministry was thoroughly vindicated, Moses, Elijah, Christ. Now that's to us, or remember, to the Jews, there has to be a Moses and Elijah, yeah, which will bring Christ. See what I'm saying? That happens to them, but what about over on this side of rapture to us? Moses, Elijah, and Christ, sons coming to adoption. Yeah. And when sons come to adoption, they exercise the abilities of their father. And so what you find out is Jesus, he comes to adoption. He's doing all these things in his ministry, and you find out they say to him, who is this that can forgive sins? Now, if that happened back then, what's going to happen now? If Jesus Christ had the ability to forgive sins, what about now? Think about it. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. Right? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
That's right.
Right? And Paul says, you start thinking like this. You start realizing that you are equal with Jesus Christ, and it's not robbing God. You're not out of place. You're not doing something wrong.
That's right.
You are Jesus Christ in the flesh to this generation. Yeah. Now, Paul wrote it, but remember, what Paul wrote in a small, shadowy form now comes to full light, yeah, full word, that we might understand who we are in this generation. Yeah. Jesus missed Jesus Christ. As I've read the quote many times, that the ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ are the same. They're one and the same. Why are we Christians to begin with? Because Christ is in us.
That's right.
But now here we are at the end time, when it's time for the sons of God to come to adoption. The full word has been manifested, and Christ has come down and tabernacled himself in his people in a form like they've never had in previous generations. It's time for God's people to begin to realize that it's not robbery to go out and do what Christ did. To go out and arm yourself with that kind of understanding that I can do just what he did. And that's what we have to. That's what we have to come to. So we talk about people coming to the full measure, the church ministry of a fivefold ministry, bringing us to where that same full stature of Christ. Well, if you say, well, he can cast out devils, but we can't, then you're not full stature yet.
Right.
See what I'm saying? If you say, well, he can rebuke the Pharisees, but we can't, you're not full stature yet. See? But everything that he can do, we can do.
That's right.
And when we come to that revelation and realize that even in that revelation that it's not robbery to be equal with God, but yet we humble ourselves to be humble, and it's a fine line. Just like Brother Daniel talking about speaking to those people the other day. A very fine line to say what he said and not be misconstrued or something like that. But you see, a very fine line. But to realize that and humble ourselves and through humility just act out what that dimension is that we're channeling here, which is everything that Paul is speaking here of what we've come to, which is not law, not condemnation.
Right.
I listened to a sermon yesterday where Brother Graham called it God being misunderstood. Mm-hmm. It's a good sermon to listen to because he talks about how people misunderstand God.
Right.
Even in the speaking of tongues. Did you realize I would be under the impression that if somebody was sitting speaking in tongues and they were saying the same word over and over and over and over, I'd be inclined to say that wasn't God. Be careful. Don't listen to that sermon. See, God didn't call us to judge. He didn't call us to come to judge, but to bring Christ. So who is this that can forgive sins? He came to that. Who is this guy that can do this? And so there's a couple of different thoughts here that I want to kind of give to you. Now, they were saying, well, who does he make himself? Only God can forgive sins. What kind of person you think you are? You think you can forgive sins, but he could. Mm-hmm. Right? Because that's who he was. Yeah. Wasn't who he made himself, but that's who he was.
Right.
See? Now, everything that's here on Christ back then, we're talking now. So, what he could do, these sons at the end are just the same. Not because they make themselves that, but that's who they are.
Right.
That's who they are. And so the thoughts there is, well, who, what kind of person you think you are? But the truth of it is that he was the person who could forgive sins. But when you talk about that, not just a person who had the power to say your sins are forgiven and they all go away and they're gone, not just that, but who is this that's got the revelation of the word in them such that they can rightly assess a situation and forgive sins? Mm-hmm. Right? Proper discernment's required in order to forgive sins, because if they're not truly repentant, the sins aren't forgiven. You see what I'm saying? So we're not talking about just somebody who's got the authority to do it, but somebody that's got the insight, the spiritual insight and character to handle that kind of authority. So who is this that could do that? Well, Jesus Christ can. But what about sons of God at the end time coming to adoption? What are they going to be able to do? Right? Forgive sins. With the right revelation, the right character. You say, Brother Tony, I know. I'm talking about something that can only be expressed when Christ is in us doing this. But this is the lot that he's called us to, or we're not sons coming to adoption. See what I mean? We're coming to this just as sure as anything. Okay? So, we should be able to look at a person, if we're judging rightly, if we're going to sit on that throne, right, then just prior to rapture, we have to come to that kind of revelation and character of Christ in us in that kind of magnitude that we can rightly judge. Then while here in this flesh before body change, we should be able to rightly assess a situation and judge according to God's judgment. Jesus did it, did he not? Are we not Christ in bride form now? Think about it. And you know what? You say, well, Brother Tony, I'm not there. The only thing that's standing between you and that is your acceptance and belief of it. Believe it enough that you adopt it in your own life. That you begin to array your mind with that kind of thinking. That you can do these things.
Yeah.
That's why when that Vietnamese, or I don't know, Laos, guy that works for me, and he came in and he said he was passing blood and they were going to have to go look inside. And I said, they won't find anything. I didn't say that in myself. I said, they won't find anything. He come back later on. He's got a little girl. His name was Tony Sanderson. Got a little girl, and he come in, he said, they say she's not getting blood to her brain. They're having some sort of test they have to do and ultrasounds and all that, and they're acting like that there's something serious wrong because she's not getting the blood flow. And it happened again. So she's going to be fine. You don't say those things in yourself just to come, well, I can just say that. No. You should be, you're walking in the Spirit, you're in tune with that realm, you're in tune with that dimension, and when something plays before you, this is the way a prophet was, when something lays before you, something in that dimension is occurring that's pertaining to that. And when that's all unfolding right here, that prophet could look in that dimension and he could see, thus saith the Lord, this is not going to be this way, and he was that channel, could speak that. Now, we're not prophets. We don't see it by vision, but we can walk in tune with the Spirit of God, and God can speak to us, and gifts of the Spirit of God can move through our lives, and we can bring what's truth in that dimension and speak it right here and make it come to pass right here in this world now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what keeps that from happening? Your belief of it. Mm-hmm. Your belief of that is what's hindering. But this is our lot as Christians here at the end time under this message, sons coming to adoption. This is our lot to come to this. Okay? You sisters too. You understand when I say sons. I'm talking about you too. Right. We're all coming in, into that. Okay? So, we haven't come to the limitations of the law and the judgment and all that, but we've come to something that's positive.
Amen.
I heard Brother Ram say yesterday that a person's got the Holy Ghost is always positive. Okay. How many times are we negative in our life? It's because we're not in tune and prayed up and walking in the Spirit. Because when you're walking in the Spirit, you're positive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that Spirit is a realm, it's a person who all things are yea and amen.
That's right.
Right? Everything's possible to them that believe. Right? This world down here is not the final word. This is not the say-so. Moses and Elijah, that's not the final say, but it's what's in Christ. That's the final say. And proper judgment to those things. Proper assessment and discernment of those things. So we haven't come to that, but what have we come to? So he says, we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Not a dead God, not a bunch of dead gods, a bunch of dead religions, but we've come to the city, the dwelling place, where the living God dwells. This is his place.
Right.
And this is what we've come to. Now, as I cover these, when I say we've come to this, remember that as we're saying we've come to this, think and arm yourself and your mind in this fashion that we have become this. Think about it. We haven't just come to it, but we have become this by the revelation. So we have come to the city of the living God. What is the city of the living God? The bride. We've come to that dwelling place where Almighty God said, at all time and all spaces, well, the place that I want to dwell is going to be this people. This is where I'm going to hang my hat. This is where I'm going to be willing to dwell among my people, is right here in this place, this city called New Jerusalem, the city of the living God. There's all kinds of shrines, all kinds of places that you could go to with all these other religions, but none of them is the place that is called the city of the living God. Right? Even Jerusalem in itself in the natural is not what we're talking about. Not heavenly Jerusalem, see? So what we've come to is the city, the Mount Zion, the city of the living God. A God that can answer. Not a dead God. A God that can answer to heavenly Jerusalem. And remember what I said? Jerusalem, Salem is peace. See? So we've come to the city of peace, and not just earthly peace, but peace that comes from heaven.
Right.
That's where we've come to. So we've come to this place to realize that Almighty God lives in me,
amen,
and he lives in you. And we've got peace beyond all earthly peace. We have a peace of God that passes all understanding. That's what I've come to.
Amen.
I have access to that all the time because that's what he's brought me to. So the city of the living God. To an innumerable company of angels. Not a bunch of dead, hateful birds. We're not birthed to a denominational system. We've been birthed into the dimension of an innumerable company of angels. And you know, angels are messengers. And each one of us in our own form is like an angel because we all are a messenger sent from God to this earth, right? So this is what, when we land in that birth, in that dimension, we look around, what do you see? A bunch of popes and priests and swinging a bunch of smoke? Or do you see an innumerable company of angels of God? This is the realm that we're in. By revelation, stuck in this body, but in the spirit, we're birthed, we touch, taste, see, smell, and hear. This is what I'm talking about. This is what we've come to. The General Assembly of the Church of the Firstborn. General Assembly. You know, you'll have, I don't know how to describe it, but let's say, like for instance, the company I work for, they have a shareholder meeting. And there's a general shareholder meeting. Everybody comes to that, or everybody can come to that. Well, they have other meetings that are, you know, higher-ups have to have those meetings type of thing. But there's a general, and so everybody that comes to this meeting, they all have the same thing in common. They all have access to what's going on in this meeting.
Yeah.
And so when we come to the general assembly of the Church of the Firstborn, we come into the midst of a people, and we all have the same, we all sit at the same level, sitting with the same garment in that dimension.
Yeah.
Amen? The general assembly of the Church of the Firstborn, to those whose names are written in heaven. And you know, everybody likes to, I hope a Christian doesn't desire to be prestigious, but just you bear with me. Everybody likes to be prestigious. Everybody likes to be able to throw their shoulders back and say, well, I am a member of this elite group. I belong to this. And you know, a lot of people can't be part of this, but I can be. See, I'm a famous singer, and my name is over here in Nashville. See, my name is written. Or I'm a movie star, and you can go out here and see my name is written on the pavement, out on the concrete out here. My name is written because I'm part of this select group of elite people. See? Or I'm... You know, my name's listed as one of the presidents or a governor of a state. I'm my name. But I ask you, who can ascend into heaven and write your name there? Think about that. Only God can write your name there. And this is what we've come to. A group of people whose names were written there. Amen? And Jesus said, Don't be rejoicing because the devils are subject to you.
Right.
But because your name is written in a dimension where no man or no devil can ascend to and write your name there. Amen. That in itself is quite a testimony.
Right.
To say, you know what? My name is written in heaven.
Yeah.
My name is written in the Word. And heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word won't pass away. And my name is written in that Word that will not pass away.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Praise God.
Yeah.
Man.
This is what we've come to.
Yeah.
And the only thing lacking is our grasping and moving into that revelation and beginning to act out by faith, just like the rest of them did, what God has called us to. And He's hand-delivered it. Remember, in Malachi, it talks about they shall grow up as calves in the stall. Calves are hand-fed. Special diet.
That's right.
That's you and I. Same scripture speaking of Elijah coming. So, General Assembly, Church of the Firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, we are come to God, the judge of all. Now remember, what have we come to? What have we become? Right? What have we become? Because everything that God was, He poured in Christ. And now everything Christ was, He poured in His church, and that's us. That's us.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a difference between Him and us? No.
No.
See what I'm saying? Mike could have said yes in the days of Luther, but not even in the capacity of Luther's day, you couldn't say that. But no, no difference. We are Jesus Christ in bride form.
Amen.
There is no other manifestation of Him. Go through all the universe. You will not find Christ Jesus somewhere else other than right here in His Word being manifested through His bride.
Amen. That's right.
He's not found nowhere else. You can't make it be anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So this is it. Unless you believe that I am He, unless you believe that we are that people, unless you come to this life that's emanating from the bride of Jesus Christ, then you'll die in your sins. This is the thing that we have to come to. He had to come to that place where He had to take that stand and be what He really was, and that cost Him to proclaim that in this world. And it's the same. We have to come to this place where they're going to be offended, but we can't be anything else but that. And I want to ask you a question. What I'm talking about here, about coming to that manifestation of Christ in perfection, doing what He did, isn't that what your heart's crying for?
Amen.
The a deep calling to a deep. It wouldn't even be there in your heart if it wasn't for you.
That's
right. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is what we're coming to. Unfortunately, it'll be rejected by most. That's fine. We're just so happy to yield ourselves to Him.
Yeah.
That He could live through us. So we've come to God. We have come to God, the judge of all. And we become one with Him. He now is embodied in us. And in that day, you'll know that I'm in you and you in me, right? So we come to that day, and that's this day. And this person we've come to is the judge of all. How could we judge if the judge of all wasn't in us? See what I mean? We've come to that place where that judge is now in tabernacling himself in a people who've been thoroughly ministered to under the ministry at the end time, bringing us to that adoption, coming to that spot. Now God is in tabernacle. The judge is in tabernacling himself because we're fixing to have a body change and we're going to judge when we get on the other side.
Yeah.
Has to happen here. This is what we've come to, the judge of all. Angels, demons, people, the whole thing. And God declares in heavens and natural typing spiritual, we got all these people in high places that are falling. It's being revealed that they didn't have the character. Right? But God's got people that do have that character because He's put it there.
That's right.
Amen? And when all those others are falling, it just makes that one who doesn't have all that stuff against them. See, that God has removed it. They just stand high. And so, you see natural things typing that, but this is what's going on with the bride of Jesus Christ. I'm almost done. Bear with me. So we've come to God, who is the judge of all. Complete access to proper judgment. I'd like to be able to look on every situation and properly assess it and properly interact with it and never make a mistake. Only Christ can do that, the judge of all, but that's what I have a desire for. So we've come to God, the judge of all, and we've come to the spirits of just men made perfect, those that have gone on, who in their day fought their battles, they had to fight with Satan like you and I do, but in their day were made perfect in their walk, in their revelation. This is what we come to, an assembly of men, just men, made perfect. You talk about fellowship. Put you in a midst of a whole with millions of believers who fought and in their day have come to this victory, and they're sitting there waiting on you and I. They're waiting on you and I to come to what I'm talking about. And so Paul talks about it, and Brother Bram talks about it. It takes this message to resurrect the loser in the Wesley. And all that. So here we are, that dimension, they're sitting there. They are just men made perfect. They're in that realm. And now we're coming to this place that they've been waiting on. And there's a great uniting taking place that's about to take place and may be doing it right now in that realm. And so we've come to this place where these just men are all made perfect waiting on us. And now God's going to bring us to the spot they're waiting for and draw us together. You talk about fellowship. Mm-hmm. That sounds like rapture to me.
Yeah.
Right? Remember, He descends from heaven with a shout, which is the message. Voice of the resurrection. Right? And then the trump of God, and the trump gives us his body change. Right? Message already came, get the people together, done,
yeah.
Right? Right? A voice of the resurrection. I'm going to ask you a question. Could it be? We're always thinking, yeah, when that voice happens, the graves are open. They won't nobody see that. But who will see it?
Man.
Who will see it are the ones who will fellowship with them.
That's right.
And how are you going to see them? Are you going to see it with these eyes down here? Or are you going to see it by this thing you've been birthed into?
Amen.
You'll see it by what you're birthed into, and you'll look in that, and you'll see them, and you'll see that they are just men made perfect. You'll see that, and you'll begin to enter into a fellowship of the Word with them, and you're still standing here looking like you look now, just like this.
Right.
But in that realm, you're already fellowshipping.
Amen.
You're already rapture moving. See what I'm saying? This is what we've come to. We've come to that place. And remember, I don't think Paul and his people had full access to everything he was saying. But definitely down here, everything Paul was saying and more, we have access to it now.
Amen.
We've come to this. We've come to this place where there are just men made perfect. Amen. Remember Brother Branham laying there? And what was it? Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Where was that coming from? Was somebody standing in his room going, keep pressing on, Brother Branham? Or was that coming from another dimension?
Come on.
Keep pressing on. Brothers and sisters, we're closer to that dimension than what people think. We're closer to what you think.
Amen.
I often wonder, can they see me? Are they watching me? Those that have gone on, is Brother Branham, is he looking and he's rooting for me from that other dimension? Is he saying, Brother Daniel, keep pressing on? I believe that if we allow ourselves to be caught up in this that we've come to like we should, we'll hear these things, we'll see these things, we'll touch, taste, see, smell, and hear everything that God's doing in this hour. Amen. Keep pressing on. We've come to the spirits of just men made perfect. We come to Jesus, who is the mediator of the new covenant. Now remember, we didn't just come to him, but we've become him. We have become the one who is the mediator of this new covenant. And remember, the new covenant is not the one on Mount Sinai with judgment and with Moses and with Elijah. Right? The new covenant is the one that's pertaining to Christ, the one who can forgive sins. That's the one he's talking about. We've come to Jesus, Mr. and Mrs. Jesus Christ. Ministry of Christ and ministry of the bride are the same. We've come to that ministry of Christ, who is the mediator of the new covenant. The mediator, the person who can dispense out, the one who's the go-between. The mediator, right? Of the new covenant. The one who's very much a determining factor of how that new covenant is ministered out and who it goes to. The mediator. We've come to that. See, so you come by revelation to a position that God wants to meter out his new covenant, and he's got to do it through you, unless you believe that we are she. See what I'm saying? We got to come to that. Wrap our mind with the word, and everything else is a lie, including what Satan's telling you. The word is right. And I'm showing you by scriptures that God has given you that ministry, that spot. And ain't nothing Satan can do about it. I always think about all these preachers that slobber everywhere, and I'm finding myself doing it. That's okay. Because there's nothing like speaking truth, and you know that it's coming from a vindicated message, vindicated word, laying right there in the scriptures that God has given us eyes to see and ears to hear. Amen. I'm still almost done. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, we can actually summons him in us to forgive sins, to meet the needs, to minister out everything that's in that new covenant. Not fear, not judgment, but a peace with God.
Amen.
We can minister that out. When you walk into the workplace, if you have yourself wrapped your thinking like that and you're walking in that anointing, I guarantee you God will see to it. Something comes before your pathway and you'll do exactly what I just said.
Yeah.
You'll minister out that gospel to a needy person. Well, Satan won't like it. He'll get mad, but that's okay. We can summons him to perform his word. We come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. The blood of sprinkling. Think about that. When the priest would go and he would sprinkle, and remember the scripture said in Hebrew that when it come time for that first covenant to be made, and Moses took that blood and he sprinkled the people and the book, and everything was sprinkled with that blood. Everything was covered, right? Even the book itself, the words itself were sprinkled with that blood, and he sprinkled the people and the whole thing. Right? That sprinkling of the blood says great things. Amen? And so Paul says, we've come to the sprinkling of blood. Amen? We've come to the sprinkling of blood, which speaketh better things than Abel. If the sister will pull up Hebrews 11:4, I believe it is. Look at this. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And God testified. It says here, it says, this speaks better than that of Abel. Abel's testimony was that even after he was dead and gone, God was testifying that he was righteous. And this that we've come to has a greater testimony than Abel. My brother, my sister, what else could you want? What else kind of a testimony could you want that's better than this one? Because here's Abel who gave his life, and God testified that he was righteous, and God comes along and sprinkles us with blood that has a better testimony than that of Abel. Right. We're more than just righteous. Yep. We're Miss Jesus Christ. Yep. How are we that? By believing it. By receiving what he sent your way to reveal this to you and let you hear these kinds of words. You won't hear this in a Methodist or a Baptist or a Presbyterian or Catholic. You won't hear this anywhere except in message. This is what God has called us to. This is the kind of thing that, you know, you think, man, if the authorities download this and listen to it, they're going to come after us. Because they're going to have to say, who do you think you are? Remember I said last week, one of the things that they point out as being extremism is when you say that you've got truth exclusively and everybody else is out. Well, I'm not saying that. But the Word does say who has it. Amen? The Word says who's have it. I can't help it if I just repeat what the Word says. Amen? We do just like Jesus. Say, you know what? I don't have to testify myself. He testifies. Right? But if I do testify and then he testifies, there's your two witnesses. And if you can't believe that, then believe the works. If you can't believe what we're saying, then look at what God's doing.
Sure.
That in itself testifies to you. If you can't quite grasp this, Brother Tony, is God really putting us in this position? If you can't quite grasp that, just look at what he's doing. He's speaking things to you that nobody else gets in this message. Why would he do that? Because Brother Bram tells us, God don't piddle around. He don't just do stuff. I heard him yesterday, he said he doesn't do miracles just to show that he's God and can do it. He has a reason for doing it. Amen? Yeah. A great mama eagle stand there and flap that wings and just about blow the little eagle plumb out of the nest. And he said, that's for a purpose. That's for a purpose. To show that little one, I want to be like Papa or Mama. Right? You flap them wings, and the Brother Bram would stand there and say, because you've come to challenge the Spirit of God today, you'll fall prostrate at my feet.
Right.
So you and I can see it. That you and I can arm ourselves with the thinking that no matter what Satan sends our way, under the right revelation and humility, we can stand there and say, you've come to challenge God. And because you have challenged God, you're not here challenging me. Brother Rem said, because you come here to challenge me. He didn't say that. Because you've come to challenge God, the Spirit of God. So we stand there and say, because you've come to challenge the Spirit of God, then thus and thus. Amen? This is what we come to the sprinkling of blood that speaks better than that of Abel, a better testimony than Abel. Now he says this. If you remember in Hebrews 11, he talks about how much everybody paid, the price they paid by faith, and they wandered about in dens and all the things that happened to them. And he said, yet they are not perfect without us. So he's talking about them. And now he says in Hebrews 12, he says, now seeing that we're compassed about with that kind of people, with that kind of witnesses, what kind of people are we surrounded by? People who were persecuted, people who were rejected, but people who had faith and held on to the promise, even though it cost them in this life. This is the kind of people that's gathered around us. Just men made perfect, right? But we're gathered to this, and this is what we're surrounded with. This is the kind of testimony, this is the kind of the rooting they'll do for us. If they could speak, hey, press on, is a people that's been there and they know that God will get them through, and yet they didn't come to the perfection that we can.
Yeah.
See? And so he says, seeing we're compassed about with this cloud of witnesses, right? They were persecuted and all that, and what Paul's doing, he's trying to minister to us and say, listen, this is the way it is. Persecution, rejection, correction, chastisement, this is the way it is. Mm-hmm. Look at them. We're compassed about by them. Look what they had to deal with. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Look at him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. See? So Paul is saying we're compassed about with these people who've had all this kind of persecution. Look to Jesus. Look what he had to deal with. And don't forget that God chastises his children if he loves you.
That's right.
If you're his child, he loves you. He will chastise you. So Paul's building this case. Says, look, you're going to endure this stuff. You're going to be misunderstood. Look what you've come to. You're going to be misunderstood, and people's going to. And but yet, it's through that you're walking this walk, and it's being molded out through you what this thing is. And so, even with all that persecution and all that, that's the hand of Jehovah that's correcting you and molding you and making you. Don't lose heart. Don't let your feeble hand hang down. Don't be like Esau, who for one morsel, who don't get discouraged, is what he's saying. Don't get discouraged when you have trials and you're misunderstood as you try to stand and manifest what God's called you to manifest. Don't get discouraged because look what you've come to.
Yeah.
You've come to this mountain, the city of the living God, New Jerusalem, peace from God, all these things that we've talked about. This is what we've come to. This is what we are. This is who we are. Amen?
Yeah.
And it's not robbery. We're not out of line as long as it's in the right spirit. As long as God is tutoring you and you come through that channel, it's not. And I ask you, if God is not doing that in us right now, if he's not through the ministry of the end time message giving to us that character through what we're learning and what we endure, if he's not, then how's he going to come? There's not another messenger. The scriptures do not record another messenger to the Gentiles, only to the Jews. It lays right here what you and I have access to. That's where it's going to come. Rapturing faith comes from those tapes, and the scriptures is clear that there's not a voice, another voice coming to you and I, that we live in the hour that through the ministry, what God did when he branded, we become one with Jesus Christ, and he in us is the final voice for the final age. It doesn't come any other way. Amen. So we look to Jesus. We receive correction. We don't let it get us down because we've come to something much greater than what they had. This is what we've come to. We have come to the place where God has called us to express the impossible to this generation. Amen. To express the impossible to this generation. Now, with man things are possible, right? Right? But not with God. Right? God can do. He can do whatever he wants to, except fail. He cannot fail. Now, I realize, tall order. I want to be that. Am I that? Not, no. I just, you know, myself. But in Revelation, I can see it. Amen? In Revelation, and I want to embrace it. In Revelation, I want to share you and point you in that same direction. And I believe it's true. We're getting close. Amen? We're getting close. Just by Revelation, you can see God's wrapping it up. And we're happy for that. So what it seems like fearful thing to the end time, to people, it's not fearful. Maybe to lost, but to the believer, it's not fearful. Jesus said, when you see it all come to pass, look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. I heard Brother Branham talking, and he gave examples, and I don't remember what the examples were, but I think he talked about being in a dump, the old burning smoky dump, all that smoke where they burn everything. He talked about being in that dump, And maybe his mama had, he had him castor oil, and they give him that castor oil, and he'd feel yucky. And he said, imagine being in a dump and all that smoke and choking you and all that whatever, and having that castor oil, and you just feel so yucky, and you're down there. And he said, imagine going from that and then been taking up another realm. And I forget how he said it, but no pain, no sorrow, no nothing, just perfection. He said, would you ever want to come back down to that? No. But he said, take you from that burning dump and all that castor oil and all that sickness and take you up into that realm. He said, that's exactly what it is right there. That's exactly what it is, to go to a dimension like that. So now, we think about that. We think when we say that, we're thinking body change. I'm going to go to that. I don't want to be sick no more. But I'm talking, I'm bringing you back to what I've said this morning in Revelation. If God is giving us access to all these things I said, why would we ever want to come back away from that? Why would we ever want to come down and associate ourselves and let our time be consumed with something contrary to that? We wouldn't want to. Not at all. We wouldn't want to. Amen. Do you believe him?
Amen.
Have I stayed in the scriptures and the message this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you for saying that. God bless you. Let's let the musicians come. We'll bow our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this service now, Lord, in just humility, we just want to say we thank you, Lord, for what you've poured out to us in this day. And Lord, I realize there's always levels. Every time we look in the scriptures, there's levels and layers and things. And God, you could continue to reveal things to us for another 50 years if you wanted to. But Lord, to us, it just seems so close. And that desire in our hearts to manifest you in perfection is so strong that it's there. And yet we see outside of that in the flesh and in the realm of the flesh that everything mounts up to even be more against it, and there's more obstacles trying to keep us from being able to walk the way we have a desire in our hearts. But we're thankful, God, to know that there is a desire in our heart to walk in righteousness and fulfill your word. And you said that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, it would be filled. We would have it. So we thank you, Lord, for this morning, because we've got victory in all these things, even if it takes another 50 years for us to arrive. In all these things, you've made us more than conquerors. And we thank you for that. Commit the sermon this morning into your hands and into the hearts of your people. And I pray, though, to those that are missing today, Lord, that they would get this and be able to receive just as much inspiration from it as if they were here. I ask, God, that you bless everyone that's have a sickness in their flesh. We just join our prayer with the saints, and we rebuke the enemy and say, you cannot have God's people. They have victory. There are many afflictions that come upon your people, Lord, but we're rebuking the enemy now and saying that you give us victory over all of those. You deliver us out of every one. We thank you for it, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. If you want to. Some people may be loaded down and can't stand very well. Amen. You love his word.
Amen.
I do. You know, I sit down, and Brother Daniel and I were talking a while ago before service, and you sit down, and Brother Bram said, God knows how to speak.
Yeah.
And boy, he sure does. You sit down in his word, get yourself quiet. Now, you can't expect for God to speak to you if you're busy all the time.
That's
and
right.
you're doing this, doing that. And you can be busy, like mowing the lawn or doing something, you know, whatever, and God can speak to you. But you understand, a busy mind that's consumed with other stuff, which Satan is a master at making sure you do.
Right.
You got to get that stuff away.
Yeah.
And one of the best ways you can worship God is just to push all this world and its cosmos to the side and say, God, I'm giving you this moment, this time right here. I'm not giving you, you know, but I'm giving you my mind, and I'm going to get in your word, and I'm going to start soaring. And the Lord will take you places. He'll let you soar through the Old and New Testament, and you'll find and see things that you didn't know was there. And that's what we got to do. If we want to come to what I'm talking about this morning, we're not going to get there on social media or any of that other stuff. That's not where it comes. It's going to come from getting alone with Him. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing.